This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Yes, you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. No Macca today, just Fiona, Paul and
Macca
myself.
Macca-free zone.
Macca-free zone. He won't like that. We shouldn't
it's only those. Temporary.
He has been sending us lots of messages, both privately and through the screen.
I know.
And, he can't stay away, can he?
No.
But I think that Macca would agree we're doing an excellent job.
Yeah.
In his absence.
Yeah. We've had a fair bit of feedback. A bit of feedback to a comment that I made, which was about the experience of young people missing out on those opportunities in the office environment. And 317 says that some people are introverts and have their own networks via social media. And I recognise that. I think that's right.
Do you remember when we first went into lockdown, like so long ago, there was this whole thing about introverts were, you know, in celebration.
Oh, they loved it.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. They loved it. It kills me.
Yeah, I mean, I work in an industry that's very, about interaction. Mm. And all of our interns, we have a big intern program, and now they all have to intern from home, and I just feel for them. And sometimes they're just noodling away at home while you've got, you know, the rest of us trying to find time to allocate tasks and to give them things to do. And I just feel, and then I have to explain things by email, and then I'm not sure are they getting it, and then I could ring them up, and I just feel that they're at that time where it's that face to face work learning stuff that they're really, you know, missing out on.
But I am finding it a bit tiring facing a computer all day.
Oh, my goodness. I broke out the sewing machine this week just so I could do something.
Sewing machine.
Yeah, I just wanted to do something that was not on a screen.
Now, Fiona, we do have a guest who's waiting to come on air.
That's
right. Would you like to introduce our guest?
I would. Catherine Barrett, who is the founder and director of Celebrate Aging and the creator of the Kindness Epidemic, and we would love to hear from you, Catherine. It's been too long. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, and happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday to you, Catherine. Catherine, so great to hear your voice. It's been far too long since you've been on our show.
Oh, thank you. And isn't it lovely? I mean, that's the thing, you know, the COVID's turned our world upside down, but we can still speak on the phone and it can still feel like we're connecting.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's very true. And Catherine, I mean, you're a local, so at some point we hope that you'll be able to just walk around the corner and join us in the studio for a longer chat if you're up for that.
I would love that. Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah. So, Catherine, you're keeping extraordinarily busy. You've got the Museum of Love. You've got the kindness pandemic happening. You've got Celebrate Aging happening. Where do you want to start? Tell us about what's keeping you really busy at the moment.
Well, probably the kindness pandemic is keeping me super busy. And, you know, what's really lovely about the kindness pandemic is that we've had a number of queer projects that have come through the kindness pandemic. One of them was a partnership with Beyond Blue, and it was called Finding Strong. And it was saying to – it was about sharing stories of hope. And so we said to people, how did you find your strong and what made you strong? And one of the projects we had in particular was a project called Queer Strong as part of that campaign. And we had the most beautiful stories that were shared into our group on social media. And, you know, some of them were getting 10,000 likes. And really hardly a homophobe in sight, which was quite lovely as well. But what we were really doing was saying to people, this is a mighty challenge we have ahead of us, and we still do. And, you know, reminding people we have it within us to find ways of getting through it. And that's not to deny it's not hard. It's just to say, hey, come on, we can do this. Because really we have no choice. Let's find ways of making it work.
Well, Catherine, we've had some really great feedback. Our regular listener, Mel Smith, says the kindness pandemic has restored faith in humanity, and it's an amazing initiative.
Gorgeous feedback.
That's gorgeous. Yeah. Mel,
you know, I've seen my sister post something on the kindness pandemic Facebook page, which was really interesting. I was reading it and I went, oh, hang on, that's my sister. Whoa.
Well, you know, the loveliest thing about the kindness pandemic is people wanted a kind of world before COVID.
Yeah.
And what COVID has done is it's kind of, it's turned our worlds upside down, but some people have come out of that and gone, what do I want to do? Who do I want to be? You know, what's important in my life? And kindness, we're not talking about fairy floss. We're not talking about fairy floss thinking kind. We're not talking about memes or puppies. We're talking about acts of intersectional kindness, so reaching out to people who are marginalised and doing something that transforms their life. And like your sister said, Fiona, that when you get into this group and you scroll through the things people are posting, you go, this is the kind of world I want to live in, you know, where we are kind to each other. And of course, the other thing that's really lovely about the group as well too is that our group have no tolerance for unkindness in comments. And we know that social media is such a place of unkindness sometimes, but our group have no tolerance for it. So, you know, stuff gets reported and people leave. So we end up with a group of, you know, 550,000 people who are really passionate about kindness.
I know, and it's international. It's gone completely international, hasn't it?
It has, Fiona. So in fact, it was one of the fastest growing Facebook groups in the world, and it was growing by 50,000 a day. In the initial phases. So what we did at that point was just said two things. Okay, this is totally out of control, but the other thing is this is resonating. What if we set up a process where people can set up their own local version of the kindness pandemic? So we gave people the tools to set up their own and to register with us, and there's about 70 groups all around the world.
That's incredible.
It's wonderful.
Oh, you should be on the Time Person of the Year award, face of Time Person of the Year.
Well, that's gorgeous. But can I say to you that it's not just me. There's a team of 12. And if people, I'm sure people wouldn't mind me saying, lots of our community in our team of 12 admin, and I could not do this without them. You know, they are 12 people who are so committed to social justice and either very queer or queer inclusive, and I could not do. So if I'm on the front cover of Time magazine, I want the whole admin team there as well.
I'm sure we can arrange it. I'll speak to the publishers.
get Macca to sort it out for us.
That's right.
Catherine, hi, it's Paul here. I just wanted to, I think this is an amazing achievement, so well done. The wonderful thing about the kindness pandemic, I think, is that, you know, you're well known for doing lots of wonderful work with our aging queer communities, but this actually spans all age groups, doesn't it? It actually goes right across the entire community.
It does. It's everybody. And I think what's really, really lovely, what I love about this, I love a good platform for social change. And, you know, if we think about it with a queer lens, some of the LGBTI work I've done, particularly with older people, the message goes out to our queer communities. But what's really lovely about this group is, you know, there's over 500,000 people and we're sharing, you know, queer messages with them, and so there's the capacity to educate a broader audience. The fact that we can share a story about Queer Strong in this group, and 10,000 people liked it, and I think we had to weed out 2 homophobes. You know what I mean? So the potential, this is what we mean by intersectional kindness, the potential to share stories with people in a way that, you know, people might not have clicked on a button that said, you know, click here for queer stories, but this is a mainstream group, and so we're bringing in 4 people of all ages, and so we're bringing in a broad range of stories. And Paul, you're absolutely right. One of my favourite projects has been the SQUAD, which stands for Storytelling Queers Against Discrimination. It's the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful project ever.
You're just too busy, Catherine.
Catherine, I don't know why I have not been a member of this group, and I've now submitted my application. So that explains why I've been quiet for the last couple of minutes. I found it, and I've answered the questions, and I've submitted my application. So hope that I can participate at some stage. But I do have a question for you, and it actually comes from one of our listeners. The question is, how do you deal with the people who are protesting at the moment, who are angry about lockdowns, vaccination, freedoms, all that sort of stuff? How do we deal, how do we reach out to people like that, and how do we actually try to show them some kindness and some care and compassion? What's your advice around that?
Oh, I think that's really challenging. Somebody said to me the other day, oh, you're endlessly kind, you're just kind all the time. And I said, well, actually, no, I'm not. I'm a human being. I get frustrated and angry.
I'm really pleased to hear that.
it's just so human and it's so real. And I have a friend who's supportive of the riots, and it takes my breath away. I can't believe it. But I think I see that person being marginalised, and I think that marginalisation contributes to more anger and want to riot. And so what I do is say, all right, well, you've got your opinion and you've expressed it, and I'm going to tell you this is my opinion. Don't riot because you're spreading COVID and, you know, extending our time in lockdown and encouraging people to understand the facts about the vaccine and have the vaccine, please. But then trying to keep that bridge, keep the communication open, because I don't want that person to be isolated and more angry and then more ostracised and then, because I think I think it's really difficult actually, because so many of us are in lockdown and we're a bit sick of it. Mm. And we want to know that we're in this together. And there's been that really interesting debate about should the vaccine be mandatory. And one of the best debates I've heard is people are saying, well, wouldn't it be lovely if there was that sense of we are all in this together?
Well, it slowly is becoming mandatory. I mean, if you look at what's happened here in Victoria, an announcement was made to vaccinate, you know, for all healthcare workers to be vaccinated, now all teachers. And in New South Wales, they've gone even a couple of steps ahead of us and have mandated a whole range of other industry groups as well. So it's only a matter of time before vaccination will be compulsory. And what we'll find is people are actually going to end up slipping out or being left out. And that's going to create further divisions, I'm afraid, in our community. To me, it's still a little bit like I don't know how to handle these people, because I come across some of these people in my private life as well. And, I get really upset about it. I suppose it's a human reaction. I know that you can't enter into a rational debate. And I did hear somewhere this sort of argument that what you need to focus on is sources of information rather than the content of the information. But I'm not finding I'm getting too far with that either. And I'm finding it hard to be compassionate, to be honest.
Well, I think that's one of the first steps, Tass, really, is that, you know, if we're expected to be kind all the time and think kind and feel kind and do kind, that's a big ask, because we are much more human than that. And so I think that an act of kindness for yourself is actually just saying, oh, my goodness, you are driving me to absolute frustration. And you know, I want to shout and scream at you, but I'm going to take a big deep breath and acknowledge that your attitude is different to mine, and that even though I think that what you're doing is harmful, there's still a communication. Because otherwise, one of the things that we do on social media, particularly because there's that anonymity, is we polarise. You know, you're with us or you're against us on all of these issues, but we've got to bring people along with us, and or otherwise we are completely polarised and we'll never get people on board. And I think part of that bringing people along with us is having a compassionate response to them, even though it means we've got to purse our lips and bite back a little bit.
that is one of the biggest challenges I think that we're all facing. And I'm glad to hear that you're encouraging us to do that and encouraging our listeners to do that. It's going to be a challenging road ahead. And we've had some incredible feedback from our listeners who are all full of encouragement for your work, Catherine, and for your messages, that's for sure. And we're almost actually out of time. It would be lovely to have you back and have you actually physically in the studio next time. So I think that we're going to have to say goodbye now. We really appreciate you being on the program.
And can I finish with a note that just says to all the beautiful LGBTIQ plus people out there, you are absolutely wonderful. So please go out and get vaccinated to protect yourself and to protect our beautiful, beautiful, beautiful community.
Lovely words, lovely words. Thank you very much, Catherine.
All the best.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, bye.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.